Greetings from Clay, West Virginia, and God bless you for tuning into the Fundamental Broadcasting Network today. We're going to be talking about something I just like to call a Bible study. A Bible study. Well, you say, well, preacher, this is the Sounding the Trumpet broadcast. I surely hope we'd be studying the Bible. But what I mean by that is we're going to be studying the Bible about the Bible. So this is actually going to be a Bible study about the Bible. So I hope that this will be a help to you. Just be something that we do for today's broadcast, and we'll be getting into some other things next week as we gear up for the 4th of July. I want you to see here in Psalm 103:1, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. I want to talk to you about what the Bible is and what the Bible means. What I'd like to do first off is discuss some terms that we use concerning the Word of God. You know, we call the Bible a lot of things, and we refer to it in a lot of different ways. We do. We call it the Bible. We call it the Word of God. And then there's lots of different words that we use to describe the Bible. And I'd like to talk to you about some of those terms and help you understand them and help you have a reverence for the book that God has given us. Help you to see how important the Word of God is. Let me tell you something. Let's just start off by saying this today. If it were not for the Bible, you would not be saved. Now I say, now, preacher, we don't want to be involved in the sin of bibliolatry. We don't want to make the Bible an idol. Listen, let me tell you something about the Bible, my friend. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, I got saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Well, amen to that, brother. That's how you get saved, is by having faith in what He did on the cross. But let me tell you something. You'd have never heard that message if it wasn't for the Word of God. You say, well, my grandpa told me about it. Yeah, and somebody told him from the Word of God. Listen, folks, you can't get away from the importance of the Bible and the Word of God. You just can't get away from it. I want you to see here, first off, let's give you the first term that we use to describe our Bible. Most of you will actually have this written on the cover of your Bible or maybe on the side of it, and that is this. We use the word holy. When we talk about the Bible, we call it the Holy Bible. Now, many times we say that, well, only God is holy, but I think it's appropriate for us to call the Bible holy. You say, preacher, why do you think that? Well, let me read to you here in Psalm 103 and the very first verse. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The Bible here calls God's name holy. You say, well, preacher, what does that have to do with the Bible? Well, let me explain it to you. Psalm 138 in the second verse, the Bible says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think about that for a moment. Don't you love the name of God? When someone says the name of God in the right context, it just thrills your heart. You say, well, that's my creator. That's my God. When someone says the name of Jesus, you think, that's my Savior. That's my Savior. That's my God. He's the one who created me and loved me enough to die for me. And when someone talks about the Holy Spirit, I hope you recognize that He's your friend. He's the one who comforts you. And He's there for you to lean on in times of trouble. The name of God is beautiful, but the Bible says that God has magnified His word even above His own name. Now, I'll tell you something. To the Jewish people, God's name was very important. Anytime that they were translating the scriptures or anytime they were just copying the scriptures so that they could have more copies of it, they would wash their hand or they would wash their whole body, depending on which name they were copying of God's. They actually wouldn't even write the name of Jehovah or write the name of Elohim without actually going and washing their whole body or washing their hand so that they could write down that word. That's how important the name of God was to them. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that God has magnified His word even above His name. I believe if the Bible says that God's name is holy and He has magnified His word above His name, that makes our Bible holy. Don't you? Don't you believe that if God says, hey, if my name is holy and my name is righteous, then we are going to uplift my word even above my name, I think that makes His word holy. You say, preacher, what does the word holy mean? Well, it's really very hard to define. In all of the scriptures, there's not a word like holy, maybe that is more difficult to define. The word holy simply means righteous or full of glory, absolute completion and perfection in every way. It's beyond just normal completion or perfection. It's the kind of perfection that brings glory and honor and a brightness and a shining light. It just can't be bought and it can't be made up by man. It is holy. holy. Not only do we say that the Bible is holy, but secondly, I want us to see, we call the Bible inspired. We call the Bible inspired. This is a term that you've heard used probably your whole life, and if this is the first time you're hearing it, I want you to know that it does come directly from the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God breathed is this Greek word here that is translated given by inspiration of God. The Greek word is theonoustos. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means given by inspiration of God. That's exactly what it means. You say, preacher, what does it mean that the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God? It literally means that God spoke to human writers, and the human writers wrote down the exact words that God had for them to use. Now, there's no doubt that God used the writers of the Scriptures in order to take their own experiences and the things that they had been through, and he helped to record those things. No doubt he even used their own personalities. Paul was a different kind of writer than Peter was, and Jeremiah had a different kind of ministry than Isaiah. So we see that God uses these individuals to pen the words of God. That's what the word inspiration means. Inspiration mainly describes the process by which the Bible was originally given. You know, today we have a big fight on our hands, and I don't want to get in the middle of it by any means. I love folks on both sides, and I think it's really a very ridiculous fight that we're fighting. Some people say, well, the Bible is inspired, and some people say that the Bible is preserved. I just say the Bible is the Word of God. It's holy, it's perfect, it's complete, and what we have in our King James Version of the Bible is inerrant and infallible, just as the originals were, because God has preserved His Word. So whether you say that the Bible is inspired, or whether you say that the Bible is preserved, it's almost like saying it's holy, but it's holy. It's the same thing, folks. I mean, we're saying that the Bible is the Word of God, and it's not just in the original languages, but what we have with us here today. But inspiration in the Bible mainly describes the process by which the Bible was originally given. For instance, that's why he says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration. In other words, inspiration is the means by which God gave the Scriptures. God is no longer giving Scriptures today. God has given the Scripture. It is complete and it is whole from Genesis to Revelation. My friend, if you believe God is still speaking to you from heaven today, and it's not through the Word of God, you need a CAT scan. I'm telling you something, the Bible is clear, and the Bible is complete, and the Bible is perfect. It doesn't need any further revelation from you or anyone else. Now listen, we also believe in what we call verbal plenary inspiration. You say, preacher, I've heard those terms. What does it mean? Verbal literally means every word, and plenary means as a whole. It means that every single little tiny bit, everything about it, in its whole and in its parts, everything about the Bible is indeed inspired. That means that there's not one part that's good and another part that's bad. It doesn't mean that we go through the chapters and figure out which parts God really said. God said everything from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation, and when the last amen is said, that's the end of it. God said every single one of those words. Every single word and every part is inspired by God equally. Timothy isn't more inspired than the book of 1 Corinthians. It's all inspired by God. It's all the truth of God, and it's there for our benefit. Now, let me give you a third term that we use, not only holy and inspired, but we also call the Bible inerrant. Now, when you say the Bible is inerrant, what do we mean? We mean that the Bible literally is without error. It's inerrant. There is no error in it. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. They are pure words. That means that they are without error. There is no error to be found in them. And I want you to notice that the Bible says that it is the words of the Lord are pure words. It doesn't say the word of the Lord. It doesn't mean the thing as a whole. It means every single word is a pure word. God was not mistaken, and God was not mixed up about what he was trying to say. Listen, God knew exactly what he was trying to say. God knew exactly how to communicate it from his mind to our mind. He knew exactly what to say and how to say it. And I'm telling you, right here, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. Every individual word is a pure word. Every one of them is a pure word. You can trust the thee just as much as you can trust the why. You can trust the Lord just as much as you can trust the shall. You can trust the word abide just like you can trust the word dwell. It doesn't matter what specific word it is. That's the word that God gave, and you can trust it, my friend. Now, not only is the Bible wholly inspired and inerrant, the Bible is also infallible. That means it is only able to speak that which is true. In John chapter 17, Christ is
is praying his high priestly prayer. And in verse number 17 of that chapter, he says, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He didn't say thy word contains truth. He didn't say thy word has some truth in it. He said, thy word is truth. If you want to know something about eternal truth, all you have to do is turn to the word of God, because it is infallible. It speaks the truth. Now listen, the Bible is not a textbook on language, on science, on mathematics, or anything like that. It's not meant to be taken and mathematics taught out of the Bible. It's not here to teach us mathematics, although you can learn mathematics from the Bible. When it speaks on these subjects, though, it is entirely correct and truthful. Even though all that we learn about science is not necessarily found in the Bible, when the Bible speaks on science, it is infallible. It's 100% right. When the Bible speaks about math, it's 100% right. When the Bible speaks on history or on language, it is 100% right. It is not just having truth in it, it is truth. The Bible is truth. Not only is the Bible holy, inspired, inerrant, and infallible, the Bible is preserved. Preserved means it is literally kept by God. Kept by God. I want you to see also in chapter 12 of the Psalms, in verse number 7, the Bible says, thou shalt keep them, talking about the words of the Lord. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Preservation is the miracle by which the Bible was kept and it was translated. I believe that we can say we have the inspired scriptures today. Some people would say that only the originals were inspired. I have no problem with someone who says that. But in my own personal understanding of the Bible, I think that we can say that we do have an inspired Bible today because we have the preserved words of God. And see, understand, when we look at our King James Bible, we have every single word that God ever spoke to mankind that was meant to be recorded right here in this book. And there's no problem with us as we look at the King James Bible and we can see that. We use the King James Version or the Authorized Version because it's the only translation from the preserved Greek and Hebrew text. It's just that simple, folks. If you use anything other than a King James Bible, you are not reading the pure words of God. There's a little bit, there's a couple of words of God in there, but not every one is indeed the words of God, because God said, I will preserve every single word from this generation forever. Now, let me ask you a question. When God said that he was going to preserve the words of God from this generation forever, did God know that one day that English would be a universal language? Did God know that one day English would be a language that could reach almost all the way around the world? Of course God knew that. Do you think that when God wrote down this verse originally, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, that he knew one day he would preserve the words of God in the English language for us today? Absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. God knew English would be one of the main tools by which he could use the words of God to go all the way around the world, and that is in our King James Bible. Lastly, we say the Bible is holy, it's inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible, it's preserved, and lastly, it's eternal. John chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means that the Word of God is eternal as God himself, and he is the Word. Jesus Christ is indeed the Word. The Bible also says in your Bibles in Psalm chapter 119, which is all about the Word of God, in verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You say, when is forever? Is forever future? Is forever past? Forever is forever, folks. It means forever past, forever present, forever future. It means forever. And the Bible is an eternal book. Let me give you this thought in closing. The complete Bible will make you complete. That's what 2 Timothy 3:17 says, that the man of God may be throughly furnished unto all good works. What does it mean, throughly furnished? It means complete. It means it's going to make you what you're supposed to be. If you want to know how to become the Christian that you want to be and God wants you to be, it's a simple answer, folks. It's the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. How do I become the Christian that God wants me to be? It's the Word of God, folks. The complete Bible will make you complete. If you use the Bible as your final authority, you'll be incomplete. Hey, listen, folks, the Bible is not our final authority. It's our sole authority. Final authority means, well, I'm going to go check man's opinion. I'm going to go check and see what reason says. I'm going to go talk to logic, and then I'm going to go to the Word of God finally. No. I don't go to the Bible last of all. I just go to the Bible, okay? It's not our final authority. It's our sole authority. If you take your feelings plus the Word of God, you'll be an incomplete Christian. If you take your personality plus the Word of God, you'll be an incomplete Christian. If you take your preferences plus the Word of God, you'll be an incomplete Christian. If you take your opinions plus the Word of God, you'll be an incomplete Christian. But if you take the Bible as your sole authority, then you will find that you will be a complete Christian. Let me give you this illustration in closing today. I was once told about a young man in Kentucky who his grandfather told him, I want you to take this basket here, and I want you to go down, and I want you to take it to the river and bring it up here, and I want you to go down there and just bring me up some water in this old coal basket. And of course, the grandson didn't understand, so he went down to the river, he filled it up with water, and he brought it up to his grandfather, and he said, Grandfather, he says, I couldn't get any of the water up here. He said, well, do it for me one more time, if you will. Go down there and fill that coal basket up with water and bring it up here to me. So the grandson tried to hurry as fast as he could. He didn't understand what his grandfather was trying to teach him. He ran down there, he filled it up with water, and he brought it back up. And he says, Granddaughter, I tried to hurry, but I just couldn't get it up here fast enough to keep any water in it. And the grandfather said, you remember the other day when you told me you didn't read your Bible because you didn't understand it? The grandson said, yeah, I've tried to read it, but I don't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And the grandfather said to his grandson, he said, it's just like this coal basket, son. You may not be able to hold the water, but I'll tell you, that basket's a lot cleaner than it was before you went and fetched it. When you took that basket down to the water, it got a lot cleaner by the time you got home. He says, you may not understand the Bible. You may not think you're able to retain it or get it. But if you'll just put it in you, it'll clean you up. Dear Lord Jesus, please help us and guide us. Give us the strength and the wisdom that we need. Preserve us in the next broadcast. I pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.